Bob. Welcome back to another episode of Briefcast, the podcast that talks everything country, culture, and community. My name is Malachi, and I'm a proud Grand Grand Traditional Custodian from Bundaberg. And I am here with the Deadly Boys from Mamu. And today, I'd like to start off by acknowledging the traditional custodians on the beautiful country of which we're on today, and that's Cairns. And that is Moba, the Gimoi Wallabara, the Dinji, and the Yidakanji Mob. So thank you, my mob, for letting us be here today. And we hope that you guys enjoy this podcast. We've got some big laughs ahead of us, I believe, and we've got some passion and we've got some real stories coming. So guys, without further ado, please tell us who you are, who your mob, and where you're from come.
Well, first then, I'm Nagaburi, and my name is Manny. I'm from Mamu country. Nagaburi, this is Bara. And Nagaburi, that's Johnny Fiji. Nya language Nagaburi just simply means my name is. And we all from Mamu country, and that pretty much where we come from. But in saying that, I just wanted to pay respect to our elders and say it in language. Nalanga Yabu, Lugabai Yibi, and Nagabai Yarajan Yajabal Beniwa, and Mamu Yabala. Thank you to our ancestors and acknowledgement.
Hello, my brother. Hey, thanks for being here, boys.
Always.
We've had a good couple of days. A lot of laughs, a lot of tears.
Yeah.
A lot of love and lust. All right, let's get right into it. Hey, look, tell us your story. Tell us, you know, you can share a story individually, or if you want to just tell us about your country.
Yeah, sure.
Take me on a journey.
My father, his name is Yirimu, traditional man and that. He's elder of our country, which is Jurubara Bagabara country land. It's located down in the beautiful place of Innisfail, Kasseri Coast Regional Council. We own and operate pretty much about 130,000 hectares of sea country currently. We land manage about nearly 25,000 square hectares and that of wetland country. And out of that, we own about 50 hectares outright owned by ourselves, traditional owners. So we call that country and that the area we actually manage is Gundoi wetlands, and Gundoi in our language is pretty much Kasseri. So we have beautiful country, and really just getting out there and that, getting back on country, has just been a real driving force for us for the last few years, I think. So it's been a key push for us and the elders getting the younger men back in country, and that's what we're really keen on and focusing on. Keyshawn, I know you might want to talk about your role as a community research.
Well, adding on to that, my grandmother, she's from Dugalbara, another clan that's made up in the Mamu, you know, country. But I recently just started my role in under the Gundoi Association as a CRA. That's a community research assistant. That's where I put in all that database into a thing just for our family. You know, and if we want to share that, we can, but that's up to us.
How's it going? My name's John Fiji. I'm married into the family. I'm a Darren Larrakia boy. I'm married to the oldest daughter of Dad, Anthony Senior Edwards, and Mum Selena Edwards, both from Bagabara and Dugalbara, like my son was just saying. This is my son next to me, so you know, everything that we do, I try to teach them it is, you know, traditional and law ways of my son speaking on the land for me, because we're on his mother's country. But at the same time, we go back home and I teach them a lot of things back home. They come back here and give to their own family members that are here, that are missing out on some of the things. But back home in Gundoi, we're there for all our little ones and our pickaninnies. And we just, the journey's just beginning, and it's getting stronger and stronger as we go on.
What's your aspiration you see for your mob on sea country?
Sea country, we just really want to get past the co-management to designing the management for the sea country ourselves. We've got a great template in that, we have great support in that from government, but it's always their way or no way. And so what we're trying to really push in, and that allows to co-design the projects and that, making sure that it's, you know, led by traditional owners, so that's a really getting our voice in there. Our father really taught us strongly, you know, a key word is in our language, Murungurungaiwul, it means speaking voice of authority, and we just want to really lay that down back into government so they hear the voice of the people, the voice of the water, the voice of the land again. So really driving that home to Gurumpa and that, and you know, they've been good. They're sort of taking on some of those things now, and we really hope that, you know, it just expands from here going forward. If we have that voice, leading voice back onto country, I tell you what, we're going to see the results. It's only going to heal it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really pushing forward, that area, getting that speaking voice back into country. Just like when my wife says something, you know, she says, Manny, jump, I jump.
That's him.
Yay!
That's him.
Good way.
That's a good husband.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Yeah. Hey. But as a youth, as a young fella coming up, what do you see your aspirations for yourself and other youth on Sea Country, or even freshwater, you know?
I think one of the biggest things is reconnecting with our culture and the land, and like, you know, making sure that other youth, just like myself, are going on the right path, you know, learning the right things, not just, you know, the white man's culture, but our culture, and reinstating that so then it lives on for generations to generations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as dad, what are you doing to ensure that he sticks on that path, you know, because, you know, at this age, kids can,
yeah,
we can get, you know, sucked into that Western lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, in that time, in that process, me and his mother, we had our job and our duty as parents. But at the same time, we had the trust that what was given to us and what we gave to them, when they became adults, that they would make a choice on their own decisions, whether it was right or wrong, that they loved, but they lived by their choice. And in life, you do have your hiccups and your knocks and your falls, but a lot of it we don't understand, or I try to teach my kids, and my kids understand, is that they go back to one place, and that's to our fresh water. And they wash ourselves, even though we did something wrong, accept that we did it wrong. When you can accept that you did something wrong and the land knows the intent of your heart, she can heal you, she can help you. She's not going to do it for you, but that's what everyone has to understand. The land's not going to do it for you. You have a role and a path to play. You know, that's your duty as custodians of the country that you're on, is that, you know, what you have now, you have to make the world become a better place for the ones that are coming up, because it has been hurt. And it's our job and our duty now to come back and say, hey, we've done this, we put our hand up, so that our little ones now, and my son, not only both my sons, but both my daughters too, and my grannies that come along, I want them to understand and say, hey, this isn't just for us. Yes, it is for white people. Yes, it is for that people. Yes, it is for that people. But we have a job here and we have a duty, but we all got to walk side by side. Not in front of us, not behind us. You walk hand in hand, and like Manny was saying, the land will heal itself. But we gotta listen to. We just gotta just listen to those small things.
What about when we're talking about country, whether it's freshwater, saltwater, even land? What's that feeling you get being on your country? You know, like connecting the country.
Makes you wanna dance all the time.
Yay! Can you show us?
I've seen you.
That possum dance. Possum dance.
He showed me that dance.
I thought the ripple effect was going to come.
This possum's disabled. You know that feeling?
Nah, well, when we get on country, everyone knows, you know, a sense of well-being and a sense of being there.
Yeah.
And it's belonging to the country. And that, like, you know, we run and operate a school as well. So we're traditional owners and we have our own college. We run from primary to grade 10. It's called Radiant Life College. And in the school there, we implement culture, language, you know, cultural programs, traditional hunting practices, you name it. So we use that all through the curriculum as well to teach the skills and embed those principles to give them identity.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, our children have lost who they are in identity.
They know that they're black fellas, but it's just like they feel like they're lost and that something's taken from it. And an identity is just like for them to empower them. So these kids, we get Gundoy, he comes onto the land, walk around after school. So the cassowary comes with his chicks and everything.
Yeah, right.
All the kids and everybody that are there, he lets them walk around, you know, it's nothing for them. It even loves coming out and, you know, making sure that the kids know not to feed him. Not to feed the young ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Most importantly for me, like, I love it when my kids dance.
Yeah.
That there, it makes you, because I'm so far away from home, makes you think of home.
Yeah.
And your family and everyone that's gone before you and that's made sacrifices, you look and you say, man, only if I can hold the same legacy or have a legacy that can bring honor to those people, right? That there just drives me.
I understand that. There's nothing like our culture, eh? Like dancing, song lines, stories, you know, that connection that we have, and they try and take it away from us, you know?
Yeah.
There's colonization is try 230 years to take us away, you know, wipe us off the earth, you know. Nah, you can't, bro. We're too resilient.
That's it.
We're too deadly, you know. But, you know, you and I were talking earlier, you know, about some issues there that you're facing now in country, but tell us what that issue is, yeah?
One of the big issues now when we're controlling land management for a place called Gungu Wetlands. So on the wetlands there, we've had a lot of farmers and that, they've got water permits and everything. And so they basically put in massive wall retainers and that, barracks and that, all the way through our properties and that. And what that's done, the result of the wetlands is basically no salt water getting up, clear the water out, bring that fresh water, salt water back down through the mouth of the Johnstone River. We have two major river heads. We've got the North and the South Johnstone that come together. And when they come together to that meeting place, it's called Chiawa, it means the gathering of the waters. And just outside of that, the issue happening at the mouth, traditionally it's called Urumu. And that's where my father got his name from, traditional name from. Urumu, it means the heads of the waters. So what's happening, all that sediment buildup and everything, dead stale water is now coming and it's blocking up the mouth of the Johnstone River. And so what they're looking at, government, they've come to us and said, basically, you know, we've got a plan, we want to dredge. We said, no, don't dredge. You got to allow country to heal itself. Lift out all of these gateways, pull them out, allow the water to get back up into that salt water, up into the marshes, and it will blow it out. Country will clean itself, it'll heal itself. And we just got to know and allow to have that knowledge and wisdom to allow to do it and take out all this, I don't want to say Western white man's knowledge that is basically scarred the earth, it scarred our land. So that's a real big issue in our country right now.
Yeah. And it's like you're not suggesting we revert back to our ways, because we can't revert, because we've had to adapt through the changes that have happened through Western practices.
Yes. Yes.
And all we're trying to say is, it's time to start listening to TOs, because, you know, you look at a timeline from 0 to 100,000 years, that Western practice has only been there for a small part of that period.
That's it.
Yeah. And you've got 99,000 years plus of cultural, you know, custodian, traditional custodianship of land and sea, you know, and it's heartbreaking, but it chokes the system, but it also chokes us.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
And now we've got to learn to fight and fight, you know, put up a battle their way. Because, you know, they made it that way. They made it hard for us. But, you know, like I said earlier, we're resilient, we're deadly, and we're smart too.
That's it.
But what do you see challenges as a youth personally on your country?
I just feel like there's not a lot of community events, you know, to involve the youth, for them to say, you know, like active within the community, not going out, doing these type of things, like running amok on rocking houses, sealing cars or whatever. Like, they need to bring more social community events to like occupy the youth in our, within our community.
Yeah, sure. Our sons and many the same, and also mum and dad, they laid a very strong platform of being a mother and a father figure. And I was saying earlier to yourselves and a lot of the friends and families is that it's one thing to be a dad, to be a mother and a father is totally different. You know, there's a balance there. You know, a lost child, when he feels that boundary, that love of not getting away with everything, and not everything is yes, but there are no's there, he sees that, hey, this person cares for me. So when I do make a mistake, yes, I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I know I'm going to be, you know, supported at the same time and get strengthened of why I fell down and how to get back up. Because they're going to fall 1,000 times more. On a personal sense, it's fair few fathers in the land, and that's hard, because most of our communities that we go to, no matter where you go to, no matter if it's in Northern Territory, Queensland, or probably even many, you know, communities around our beautiful country, a lot of the mothers are taking up the men's role, and the reality is, that's your business, that's your post that you have to stand on. You're a man, you have to stand on that post. Even if you are getting knocked down, you still got to get back up next day and get knocked down again. So what? And my grandfather taught me a long time ago, and I will always keep these words, you know. He goes, the woman in the community, she sets the boundaries, son. Goes, but the men, they enforce it. Where are the men to enforce it if we don't have any men? See, a woman's strength is different to a man, and a man's strength is different to a woman. How is that then possible? Oh, no. See, a woman and a man, they're one. That child needs that strength beside them. If they can't have that strength beside them, there's no boundary for them. They're, as far as their eyes can see, they can run.
Yeah,
you know? And then, yeah, run a market and get
that's
locked
powerful,
up.
Powerful, bro.
You know?
Powerful.
Yeah.
It's like, it sounds like you had some great mentors and great elders around you growing up.
Right.
And now your son's lucky to have that, you know?
Yeah.
And the community is lucky to have gentlemen, men like you. You say men, you know?
Yeah.
I think in not every community.
But even
lucky,
you, like,
I
read even meeting you, you're deadly.
But you know, we just you know what drives me, you know what makes me deadly is the trauma that my people suffered,
mm-hmm.
and there's been no justice for them. So I fight to bring that justice and to bring that to be a voice for the voiceless, and my people are voiceless. So yeah, but now we've all had mentors in our lives, and we need to continue to be those mentors and make our mark in history.
Yeah.
But look, what about sea country? When you're in the water there, you know, or when you're in that water, you know, what's the feeling you get there being connected to that sea country? Now you've got that, you know, you're in a development stage with your agreements, but new country there.
It's life, bro. It gives us life. People can't fathom that. They can't fathom that there's such a strong connection with country, with water, with anything we do when we're on country and when we're in the water. To us, it's life force, and it expresses itself, and it heals us. If we need healing, it heals us. If we're traumatized, it restores us. If we're weak, it gives us life. It does all of this to us, and
without
we just simply just without us even knowing. It's
without
like the great physician, you know, great. Somebody works on us somehow, and we come out of that place, and we're just like, I'm right to go.
Yeah.
I'm right to go again.
Yeah.
That's how powerful.
And the fight gets more hungry and stronger. Like, you know, and don't get me wrong, there are times when, man.
There's some hard times.
The battles and the hard times. But it's those times is where you grow.
Yeah, it's almost like through struggle, you become stronger. But when we're strong, you know, they can't stop us, man. Like, we're too deadly when we're together. Like, when you show me the aquaponic stuff you're doing,
yeah.
Never seen it in my life. Like, I've never seen mob working on that type of project before.
It was phenomenal. Like our elders, they said, you know, we want you to take the vision to the next step.
Yeah.
And, you know, we said, right, let's take our traditional knowledge and let's put it in with this tech stuff. Let's get some serious stuff.
Keep it both. Let's walk together. Let's see what we can do.
And it was phenomenal. Like, the idea came together. We said, right, let's take the water that's been healed, that's been purified off country. You know, we only take 60 liters every 6 months, and to help the community because prices was going up during COVID. So this is where the whole dream came out. Let's help our mob out. Let's grow vegetables. Let's grow plants. Let's grow lettuce. Let's grow food source for them. How do we do it? Let's get our water. So this aquaponic system came upon us. We got it implemented and we built it near this fella here. In the rain. But we finally got there after 2 weeks, and we took that water off our country, purified water that was healed. We put it into this aquaponic tub, and we only take 60 liters every 6 months, and it's producing a harvest every 5 weeks. And then we take that food around our communities, our elders. It gets us back out there to family. We're connecting with family again.
Providing food back to your own walk.
Yeah, bro. And that's what made it so amazing. When I saw it, I was like, what? I was like, we need to be, you've inspired me to bring this back to my community, you know?
Yeah.
Because we were all affected by COVID, you know?
It was COVID.
Hurt us. And, you know, it hurt us as a nation too, though, you know? But, yeah, as mob, we're prepared, though, you know? Because we've already suffered. So we're like I said, we're resilient. We knew how to prepare. Yeah, so that's amazing stuff that you fellas are doing up there on country. Bringing this to an end, I like to ask all my guests one question, and that question is: if you had a message to share with the world, what would that message be? And I want you to look down the camera lens, and one at a time, tell us what your message is to the world. As a triple custodian of the Great Barrier Reef, what is your message to the world?
Hear our voice. We're not being heard.
restore our lands
and the incense of our hearts.
It's powerful, boys. Look, can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Always, no worries, bro. Always
good laugh. Well, guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of Reefcast. This is all for you. This is for everyone there around the world. We're bringing you real issues, real stories from real people, like my brothers here. And we're bringing you a perspective through a cultural lens, a lens that is true and honest and pure. So I hope you take those messages, and I hope you really put an action behind those words. But guys, my name is Malachi Johnson. Again, thank you for joining us on Reefcast. And we'll see you next episode. Well,
catch ya.
Come on.